It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Yeah, so we're hearing reports as well that interim time period of about 2 hours is really critical because you have these GOP board members who very rightly are saying that they are seeing significant discrepancies. We have reports of 71% of the precincts that the ballot count does not match the voter rolls. That's significant. That is not a political question. That's something that no matter if you're Democrat or Republican, you should be concerned about. Then in that interim 2 hours in the public comments, even a sitting Congresswoman, Rashida Tlaib, are accusing these people of racism. They're getting threats. Then they back off and they say, okay, fine, then we'll allow the Secretary of State, who is a political Democrat operative, to conduct an audit. That's backing off. This is absolutely mob rule at this point, and the president is right that these people need to have courage, and the state of Michigan absolutely should not certify their false results until we get to the bottom of this systematic and pervasive fraud. Everyone is asking the Trump campaign, Shannon, where's the evidence? Well, we have 234 pages of sworn affidavits. There is a letter from 40 Michigan state legislators that was filed yesterday to the Secretary of State. They allege dozens of allegations of systematic irregularities, outright fraud, voter intimidation, all of these tactics in the state of Michigan. That is unacceptable. Well, we know that this is a false number because we know that it doesn't match. And that was exactly the concern of these two board members. And so when you have 71% of the precincts that their number of ballots don't match the voter rolls and the number of people who voted, that's a problem. And so we don't know what the ultimate outcome is, but we know that we need to get to the bottom of it. President Trump is absolutely right to fight for election integrity. And let's be clear, this is not about politics. This is not about campaigning. This is about the law and making sure that we remain a nation that is under the rule of law, equal protection, the U.S. Constitution, not a nation of mob rule or a nation of rulers. So President Trump is fighting for election integrity, and we want to make sure that every legal vote counts, not just for this election, but for everyone after this.
All right, Sandy Rios with you this morning. While you were sleeping last night, that's what happened. In Wayne County, which much of it is Detroit, there were four commissioners who were trying to decide, you know, whether they could certify the results of that election. And two of them were Democrats and two of them were Republicans. By the way, that was Jenna Ellis. Sorry. She was one of the president's attorneys. She's swinging away in all these states. And she was on with Shannon Bream last night late while some of us were, in fact, sleeping. Katie McEnany, who is, of course, Trump's White House press secretary, earlier said in the day that there were 234 pages of sworn affidavits that raised allegations of fraud in that county. And by the way, I have in my hands a couple of those. I don't know if I'm going to get to them, but I just want you to know that Michigan's Wayne County is notoriously corrupt. And so I thought it would be interesting for you to hear. This is Russ Ramsland. Russ is an expert on computers, voting machines. And he has been in Michigan and had a report last night. This was on Lou Dobbs. I want you to hear Russ just kind of enumerate what they have found in Michigan. Let's listen.
We have been out looking mostly at Michigan. We're getting ready to start turning our sights towards Pennsylvania and Georgia. The things that you find in Michigan are amazing. There are over 3,000 precincts where the presidential votes cast compared to the estimated voters from the SOS is 99% all the way up to 350%. Those kind of numbers don't exist in the real world. So where did all those votes come from? And in looking at that, we've gone back and we've looked at some of these huge vote dumps that were mostly Biden. We call them spikes. We've gone back and traced the spikes. We've seen where they were cast. They're primarily in four counties. We've looked at how long it took to cast those votes, and we've looked at the equipment that exists at all those locations by serial number. And the fact of the matter is, we can't see any physical way possible for some of those votes to have been in those kind of numbers because they just don't have the equipment that could produce it in that time.
All right, that was Russ Ramsland. And let me repeat again something that he said just so to make sure that you heard it. He said there are over 3,000 precincts where the presidential votes cast compared to the estimated voters from the Secretary of the State is 99% all the way up to 350%. So in some precincts in Michigan, 350% of the people who were registered to vote in those various areas, precincts, 350% voted. That is not possible. It's not possible. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. And so last night, let me go back to what happened last night. What Jenna was talking about is that there were two Republicans and two Democrats. And early on, the Republicans were refusing to certify. They are, William Hartman and Monica Palmer. They are the canvassers. And they said there are too many irregularities, especially in Wayne County. We can't do that. We cannot certify these. But late last night, they changed their mind. They changed their mind. Well, I don't know why. You'll have to ask them why they changed their mind, but this much we do know. Ned Stabler, who is the chief executive of Techtown, a poll challenger in the TCF Center in Detroit, said in a viral Zoom meeting, the Trump stain, the stain of racism that you, William Hartman, and Monica Palmer have covered yourself in is going to follow you throughout history. You two will forever be known in southeastern Michigan as two racists who did something so unprecedented that they disenfranchised hundreds of thousands of black voters in the city of Detroit. Gretchen Whitmer weighed in, threatening these two electors. Rashida Tlaib weighed in, suggesting that all of Wayne County can be certified, except for Detroit, is horrifyingly racist and a subversion of our democracy. All right, so last night, those two members changed their minds and certified the results in Wayne County in spite of what Russ Ramsland has reported and others, that in many precincts, as many as 350% of the people registered to vote and expected to vote voted. It defies logic, and we are now moving into our future, I have to tell you. If we cannot prevail in this election, this will be our future. We will be ruled by the mob. It'll be the mob, you know, in Congress and in the White House, and it will be the mob on the streets. And that's just as plain as I know how to make it. It's funny because I'm finding that a lot of people, those two people in Michigan are just, you know, regular people who are trying to help, trying to do their duty as Americans and as citizens of Michigan. And they were threatened. They were threatened. And the words themselves were enough to cause them to, it seems, I'm assuming, maybe they had other reasons. Maybe suddenly they found that there was, you know, complete integrity in the Detroit voting system. But I don't think so. They were threatened with words, and they withdrew. Those two things are true, whether that was the reason or not. So I find that regular citizens are being threatened, and of course, many people are buckling, others are not, but it's easier to buckle. And I found someone said to me a couple of days ago, maybe President Trump should just concede because there's going to be so much violence if he doesn't. Hear me when I tell you, there will be so much violence and control and manipulation. You will lose your freedoms forever if you don't fight now. And that includes just those of us that are regular people on the street, and like those two people in Michigan, to all the ways to all the way to Washington, where the intellectual elites reside. Very smart people. And many have served faithfully. They've written books. They've written things. They have made their mark with their persuasive words and their great thoughts and their tremendous ability to critically think. But many of them not willing to put their life or their reputation on the line for this issue, not coming behind Sidney Powell to support her, because, you know, there might be consequences. I don't have it in front of me, but there was just something that went out. I'm not sure if it was officially from Harvard. I think it might have been, saying that any Trump supporters, any attorneys, any Trump supporters will never be allowed to speak at Harvard, will never be hired, will never have anything to do. And so I'm finding that the intellectual elites, they're running faster than the regular people. I guess somehow thinking that there's a safe harbor, that if you just keep your head low, or if you don't take a stand and fight too hard, or if you withdraw right now from the fight, that somehow when the dust settles and a Joe Biden is declared president and Kamala Harris really, who will be the president eventually, that somehow you'll be fine. You'll still be able to be accepted. You will still get your six figures in D.C. And those of you who are regular folk, you can go back to your normal lives and nothing really will have changed. You'll regret that you didn't maybe fight harder, but nothing will change. And I'm just here to tell you that everything is going to change and no one will be safe. Totalitarianism doesn't work that way. It seeks people out and demands. Do you see the demands in public streets of people in restaurants? You've seen them demanding pledges, bowing, raising your hand, say this, say that. That is how the totalitarians work. This is what's coming. You will either have to officially declare positive feelings, support for things that you detest, or you will suffer the consequences, whether that means jobs, audits from the IRS, the loss of your retirement. I'm trying to help you understand what's at stake here. I don't understand why people who are the intellectual elites don't get this. Look, I don't consider myself an intellectual elite. I am a seasoned person in the political world arena. I have traveled so much. I have seen so much. I know a lot. And maybe, is it possible? Is it possible that someone like me might understand better than the intellectual elites? I can hardly fathom that, yet it seems to be the case. There are exceptions. There are some people that are on the front lines fighting like crazy, including Sidney Powell, and I want to come back to that in just a second. I need to finish because I do go on. I did go on. I want to give you some updates. Nevada has filed, they filed a lawsuit. Adam Laxalt, who was the former attorney general, I was going to play that clip for you, but they are now officially filing a lawsuit to claim that there are a lot of chicanery in Nevada, which I don't think I have discrepancy, shall we say, and I don't have time to go into that. I won't be able to tell you that Rudy Giuliani now yesterday said that several election lawsuits are ready to go to the Supreme Court. We know now that the judge who he's appealing to in Pennsylvania is an Obama appointee. Well, now, isn't that just perfect? So Rudy is saying last night that, you know, that's okay. They're going to lose a lot of things, especially in Pennsylvania. But what we want to do is actually get up to the Supreme Court. And so as though he were a prophet, a Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned President Trump's campaign win over GOP observers. And it was the lower court decided in his favor in Pennsylvania, and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which is a leftist, they're all Democrats, they're all on the left, and that's why Pennsylvania has been struggling so much, overturned the Trump campaign's win. So now that's probably another one that will, in fact, go to the Supreme Court. So that's where we are, sort of. There's a lot more to tell you. Last night in Georgia, so many things are happening there, too, really very dramatic things. Georgia is a pivotal state in the tally of electoral votes, and last night something very troubling happened. They have not certified their votes. Another county was found to have not been counted. That's the second one that, oh, gee, hey, look, there's a thumb drive with a bunch of votes on it that didn't get counted election night. Well, that's just two stories coming out of Georgia. Well, Jenny Beth Martin is with Tea Party Patriots. She's the founder and chairman, and she's going to join us next because she has been tracking all of this recounting. She also had an incredible interaction last night with a Georgia election official, which we're going to play that for you and then talk to her in just a minute. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So yes, they can handle your bills too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Larry Kudlow, Director of the National Economic Council. His office advises the President on matters related to economic policy. Proverbs 12:15 reminds us of the importance of wise counsel. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for wisdom for Larry Kudlow as he advises the President. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
Southern states are dealing with a mighty big problem, the war of northern migration. Traditionally red states turning purple and blue as an influx of northerners moved to places like North Carolina and Georgia, taking advantage of the low cost of living and quality of life, sweet tea, fried chicken, air conditioning, what's there not to like? North Carolina seems to be ground zero. About 4 in 10 North Carolinians were actually born somewhere else. Raleigh is the second fastest growing city in the nation. Charlotte is the 8th. Democrats control the city halls and governor's mansion. Conservatives in the South say they're happy to roll out the welcome wagon, but their hospitality does have limitations. As one North Carolina resident said on my radio program, y'all are more than happy to move down here, just don't pack your politics. Be sure to download my free daily podcast, listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern on ToddStarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Well, so much is hanging in the balance, and the state that everyone has their eyes on today is Georgia, because Georgia's in the middle of their recount, and they will shortly certify one way or another. And Georgia has 16 electoral votes, and at this point, the reason there was a recount was because the margin between Joe Biden, who's the declared victor, according to Fox News, and Donald J. Trump is so razor thin that by law, they had to have a recount. So they've been having that recount. Yesterday, we talked a great deal about the Secretary of State, Raffensperger. Remember, he signed a consent decree with Stacey Abrams, who is the radical leftist. I don't know if she's the attorney general now. She was the would-be governor. She was a would-be president, as a matter of fact. So the signatures didn't have to kind of like be confirmed the way they were by statute. And that's one of the lawsuits that's being filed to challenge Georgia's results. But oh, so much more is happening. And I can't think of anyone better to talk to this morning than Jenny Beth Martin. She's the founder of Tea Party Patriots. She's the chairman. She's also a longtime resident of Georgia. And she has been in the thick of things. And so she's agreed to join us this morning. Jenny Beth, good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you, Jenny Beth, because I know that you have late nights and you've been working very hard. So before we get to the latest dust up, which is your call with the election officials, let's give a little background here. What, from your perspective, has been happening with this recount? Are you happy with it? How would you describe it?
I think the whole entire recount is a sham. It's a fake recount. And I think that there is an honest effort being made to count every ballot. I don't think that we're having a very difficult time finding out what the results are of the manual count. Unless counties get it right, and we have 159 counties. Some counties have fewer than 7,000 ballots to count. They're going to get it. I can see that they would get it precisely right. You know, we're not talking about tens of thousands in some places, but in the places where they're not getting it right, no one will tell where they're off. No one's giving numbers. There's no transparency. You can't actually have real oversight. The designated monitors from both campaigns can only see from 6 feet away. They can't look over the people's shoulders. So you don't know whether what they're counting is, whether they're actually counting properly or not. And this is nothing at all like what we saw in 2000 in Florida, where there was so much openness and transparency. And the intent of this, according to the Secretary of State, was to help rebuild confidence. This is not rebuilding any confidence in our election system in Georgia. It's supposed to be an audit, a recount, and a re-canvass. And it blows my mind how bad this has gone. And also, we still don't know, going to the signatures that you just mentioned, the issue with the signatures, all the ballots that are being counted, we don't know for certain that they are even legally cast ballots. We need an audit of the signatures from the absentee ballot applications and also from the absentee ballot outer envelopes.
Jenny Beth, I have no doubt that you have communicated to your Secretary of State, Raffensperger, and he is a Republican. Certainly Fox is always the first to lead with that, so is CNN. They always say that. Why is yesterday I talked about him a great deal, and I talked about him accusing Lindsey Graham and Doug Collins. First of all, he called Doug Collins a liar, and he said that they were trying to talk him into not counting Biden votes in this recount. What's your perspective on that?
I don't know the details on that. I have been in touch with Doug Collins on a, if not daily, every other day basis, and sometimes several times a day. I've not heard one thing from Doug Collins that says he wants Biden counts not to be counted. What I think we all want is to make sure that every ballot that is being counted was legally cast. Sandy, it's important for your listeners to understand, you know this about me, maybe they don't. I've been involved in politics, in volunteering or running a nonprofit organization related to politics my entire adult life. There are elections that I've won and I've celebrated and I've been happy. And there are elections that I've lost and I've been disappointed, but I respect the process. Right now, I cannot respect the process because I don't trust the process. And 77% of Republican voters in Georgia feel this way. But what's worse is that after the last election, you had, in Georgia, you had people like Stacey Abrams and Democrats who did not trust the process. If we don't come out of this in a clean, transparent way that has been open and truly open for real, legitimate observation and oversight, and also in a way that is done right, I fear that you're going to wind up in a situation where the vast majority of Georgians do not trust our election process here in the state. And that is not good for our state. If we count every legal ballot and we get to the end of this process and they come back and say, guess what? You guys just were not good at getting out the vote. The Democrats did it better than you, and Biden won Georgia. I won't be happy about the results, but I will certainly respect those results. I'm not trying I just want to know, I want to make sure I know what the truth is. And I think that's what a lot of Georgians want at this point.
Absolutely. I think that's what a lot of Americans want, Jenny Beth. I mean, heaven knows I could say the same thing. I've lost more races that I had really put my heart and soul in and tried to help people. I've certainly lost probably 75%, to be honest with you. I have had very few wins in my life, but you have to, you know, you have to accept your defeats. But I'm with you on this one. This doesn't make any sense. I just, before you joined me, I talked about those two, a Republican, I'd forgotten their titles, their auditors or whatever they are, decided to certify the votes in Wayne County, which is Detroit, last night. Late last night they did that because they were, well, the inference is because they were accused of being racist and they were savaged verbally, they changed their minds. And so now that, you know, that even though in some areas in Detroit, 350% of the registered voters voted. It was very interesting. The turnout there was amazing. And so we know there are all kinds of problems. So this is, I think, what's happening in Georgia, too. Now, let me ask you just a couple of things because I'm unclear. When is the counting finishing?
Well, the recount process that is ongoing at the moment has to be done by 11:59 tonight. So it has to be done by the end of this day, today, Wednesday. What we found out yesterday is it doesn't matter. The results that they're getting right now, they don't even matter. They have been told that the certified results that the local county said on Friday are going to be the certified results for their county. And if they have differences, they're to send those to the Secretary of State, and they're waiting to hear back from the Secretary of State how what stands and what doesn't. And I'm very troubled by that.
Yeah. You know what? Let's stop for a second because I actually want to play that call. I'm going to play part of it because you called an official and you this is the response you got. I want people to hear how this sounded. Let's listen.
Elections, how can I help you?
Hi, this is Jenny Beth Martin. I'm wondering which numbers you guys are sending to the Secretary of State. Is it the numbers from the recount, or is it the numbers from the original count from Election Day?
We all of us counties have to turn in the same thing.
What does that mean? Because I'm hearing different things from different counties.
No. Mm-mm. No, we all have to turn in what we did election night, and then we all have to turn in what we do with this recount. The recount's not over, though.
Okay, and is it not over in your county or not over statewide?
It's over here, but it's not over statewide.
Yeah, right. Okay, and did your numbers, were they exactly the same?
No.
Which ones will be counted as the official numbers?
The election night numbers.
Why is that? Do you...
You'll have to ask the state why that is, ma'am. I don't know.
And is it the state who's telling you that that's the numbers that will be?
You'll have to talk to the state, ma'am.
But your numbers were not the same?
No.
Does that make sense to you? I don't really understand why.
Who are you with? I'm
with Tea Party Patriots. I live down in Cherokee.
Okay. I'm not making a statement on this. We do what we're told, and that's it. If you have any more questions, you can call the state.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Jenny Beth, that's astounding. Now, what she's telling you, I want to repeat it, as you could repeat it. She just told you, very plain language, no matter about the recount, no matter the results, and she just told you they're not the same, they will still certify the numbers that came in election night. What is this? There must be a statute that says that the recount should be you would think the recount would be the thing that would stand. What do you know about that? Is it too early in the morning for you to have a chance to have checked that out?
I am trying to run that down, Sandy. And this particular person, this lady who I spoke to in that county, I heard it from county after county after county as I was calling yesterday. And then we had volunteers calling, and they were hearing the same thing. And again, there are counties that did match perfectly, and I think I have to be honest with your listeners and let people know we've got 159 counties. There are going to be counties that match perfectly, and then there are going to be counties that do not. It's just I'm very disturbed by it. I don't understand why we are going through this exercise if the number of votes from it don't count. It's my understanding there's some sort of email that went out day before yesterday that went to all of the local counties. I haven't seen that email, so I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it went out from the Secretary of State. I've done a FOIA request or an open records request in Georgia to see what the communication is to the counties. I think what they may come back and do is say, well, this is not really a recount, it's an audit. But what he announced last week on last Wednesday that he would be doing, he meaning the Secretary of State last week announced he would be doing an audit, a recount, and a re-canvass. He said all three. And when they talked about the audit, and they were explaining the training for the audit, I listened to the Secretary of State's training for that, and it said because it was so close, the audit required a recount of every single ballot. So I just don't understand this. I think that when it comes to elections, if you're so close that it is 0.3% deciding the elections, every single vote matters. Every vote matters. And if I lived in a county and I found out that my county did not have the proper, did not match, I'd want to know exactly which votes for my county are being counted. I don't want the one the Secretary of State decides. I want the actual correct number of votes to be what is the official record. Not send a couple up to the Secretary of State and he'll make some determination. That makes no sense to me at all. And they may come back and say there's some law or something that goes with it. I have no idea, but it doesn't make sense to me as a Georgia voter. And I understand this process, and it still doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you do. I have to say, you are an expert, and you are in the trenches like nobody I know, really, just slugging away. And you've been slugging away every day in Georgia and nationally, too. But, Jenny Beth, your state legislature, I don't know anything about your state legislature. Are they, I'm assuming they're Republican controlled, are they?
They are Republican controlled. And honestly, Sandy, I think that we're seeing in Georgia from our state legislature the same problem that we might see from other Republican controlled state legislatures in these swing states. They don't want to touch us with a 10-foot pole. They don't want to do the tough job that they were elected to do, that they swore an oath to the Constitution to do. You know what? Too bad. You swore that oath and the Constitution trumps everything else. And they're going to have to step up and make some tough decisions. And I don't envy them those decisions. I may not even like all the decisions that they ultimately make. But they don't need to just be going, well, people are upset, but we're just going to go with this, whether it's right or not, whether they were legally cast votes or not. In Georgia, they need to get to the bottom of whether these were truly legally cast votes or not, and also whether the Secretary of State signed a consent decree that went against state law, which means if that is correct, and he signed a consent decree that went against state law, then he signed a consent decree against the state legislature. There's checks and balances in government, and they have to right now step up and be that check and balance.
Hey, Jenny Beth, hold on just a second. You guys hold a break just for a second, because I just want a couple of more minutes with you, if that's okay, Jenny Beth, because
sure,
I don't want to, I want to make this clear. We have people listening who will want to do something. So I'm going to ask you that in just a second, what they can do. But is there not a lawsuit being brought by the Trump campaign or by someone who feels like this election in general was fraudulent in many ways, on this consent decree? Is there not a lawsuit on that?
There is a lawsuit that Lynn Wood brought, but I'm not an attorney, so I'm not a complete expert on all of the ins and outs of lawsuits. But I do think that at some point we need the Trump campaign to step up and file suit or join a suit or do something in Georgia, because as a candidate, I think the candidate will wind up having a different standing and the options for different relief than an individual citizen can. And so I know that there are a lot of discussions going on that I'm bound to keep confidential right now, but Lynn Wood does have a suit.
Okay.
And we'll see what else happens.
Okay. Now, but ultimately, it's not the Secretary of State He does not have the authority to override, I would not think, certainly the recount and choose to not. I'm guessing now that he can't just arbitrarily decide not to take the recount tallies or to also to do less than thorough counting. I just can't imagine that. It is the legislature, really, that he has to answer to. Or is he part of the executive? I don't. Do you know the answer to that?
Well, he honestly reports directly to the people. He's statewide. He's a statewide elected official, and he kind of stands on his own. And so at the end of the day, in 2 years from now, his actions, he will be accountable to the people of Georgia for his actions. And I want to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and go, he's trying to be as neutral as he possibly can. I think that the problem is that in his in the quest to be neutral, that he's not being transparent and open, and he's creating more problems. Look, in every single one of those counties, as they were counting, there were designated monitors from the Trump campaign or the Georgia Republican Party who were watching, and people would slip over the tally sheets so that the designated monitors could not even see the tallies. Then tallies in the large counties were going up to one person or to a group of one or two people to tally them all up, and those are being sent to the Secretary of State. Nobody, I have so far, now it's a large state, lots of counties, so it's possible that this has happened and I haven't seen it, but I've yet to see where the totals are. Where are the tallies from the recount? It's all going to the Secretary of State, and all of that is being done in shade. It's not out in the sunlight, so nobody knows what these tallies are. And then knowing that they're being told, well, your original numbers are the ones that stand. If there's a difference, the Secretary of State will decide. That creates problems. I cannot emphasize enough, as I was sitting there listening to these calls, you could hear in my voice, I'm like, how does this make sense? Because it doesn't. It's wrong.
Okay, so
you have to be transparent and open when you do a recount.
All right, so the common theme for me this morning, and probably every day, is just the lack of courage. I talked about it before you joined me, Jenny Beth, whether it's regular folks around the country or whether it's people in Washington who are the intellectual leaders, everyone's afraid that somehow to step out to be, listen, we're going to have to be bold. This battle is not going to be won by people who are half-hearted, including secretaries of state or people who are election officials. And so I'm daring all of you to just step out. So many people have, actually. We've had a lot of heroes in this battle, and we still do. But all right, so practically speaking, before I say goodbye to you, Jenny Beth, what can people do? Georgians, I'm asking you about Georgians first, but if people can do from out other states other things, let me know what that is.
All right, the things that I think are most important for Georgians to do today, you're not going to get through to the Secretary of State. It's impossible to get through on their phone line. Call your own legislator. So call your legislator and say that you are demanding that they figure out how there is a full audit of the signatures from the absentee ballots before certification. And the Secretary of State is supposed to certify by law this Friday. But you just need to be putting the pressure on your state legislature, your legislators right now. You want them to figure out how they're going to make it possible for a full audit of these signatures. And they may pass the buck and say it's not up to them and just say, that doesn't matter. I vote for you. And if you ever want me to cast a vote again in Georgia, you have to prove to me that my vote won't be stolen and that my vote matters. And it's up to you to do that. That's one thing. The other thing, in some of these other states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, I would urge the same thing to your listeners. If you live in those states, call your legislator and figure out what it is that you need to put pressure on for those particular states. The last thing is this. We do need prayers for people to have courage. And Sandy, I think there are still some people in this country who know the truth. I don't know what the truth is, but they know information, and they haven't stepped forward. And we need them to have the courage to step forward and to tell the truth and to know that they're not going to be alone, and that people will appreciate the fact that they're telling the truth. And I think that's really important, and it's a prayer that our country desperately needs right now. And the people who, I don't know who all those people are. I just know that there are some people who need to step forward, and they are afraid to do so right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. And look what just happened to the people in Michigan I just talked about. And you know what? It's funny, Jenny Beth, it's like words or tweets. People are so afraid they're scared to be even controversial. That astounds me, but it is the truth in this country right now. Nevertheless, I want to balance it by saying hundreds of people have come forward, hundreds of people to help Sidney Powell. I'm sure you could say the same thing down there. I know you guys have some affidavits from people who have gone on record trying to expose what's happening in Georgia. All right, we're way past the time here, but Jenny Beth, I do appreciate so much you joining me last minute this morning after working so hard, I'm sure, late last night. So God bless you and keep you. And we're in there with you. Whatever the end result is, we're going to hang together. And so I'm going to say, I'll be right there with you, Jenny Beth, to hang with you. So thank you so much. I appreciate your time, we'll talk to you later. All right, Sandy Rios, in the morning, when we come back, I want to turn my attentions to the voting machines and what we're learning, because there is more information that I want to bring to you. So, okay, stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Stephen Rummage with Moving Forward Radio, and now you can get our 2021 wall calendar for a gift of any amount. Call 888-724-5715 now to get your copy. Each month features scripture and devotional thoughts with full-color pictures of God's creation that will encourage you during these challenging times. Get your copy of this beautiful wall calendar for a gift of any amount today by calling 888-724-5715 or go to movingforwardcalendar.org.
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. What are gates? They are defensive tools used to keep stuff out, to keep an advancing force at bay. Too often, the enemy is successful in putting Christians on defense, when the facts are the Lord established his church as an aggressive, offensive, territory-taking body. The Lord never meant for us to sit on the sidelines of life or to cower in the corner as a result of the wickedness in our culture. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The light of the world cannot be contained. The Lord is building his church, and the mamby-pamby gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. It's becoming more obvious every day that America has a massive problem with vote counting. The Dominion software used to count votes in 30 states is credibly accused of being created for the purpose of manipulating vote counts. Dominion obviously requires an intense investigation before this year's election results can be certified. What's the solution? Simple. In-person voting using photo ID and paper ballots. We must scrap mail-in voting for the obvious reason it's vulnerable to large-scale voter fraud, and plus you can't hack a paper ballot. It's time to expect everybody to vote in person on the same day, the day spelled out in the Constitution, and present photo ID in order to vote. A republic that does not have a trustworthy election process is not a republic, it's Venezuela.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 1:05 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Christopher Krebs was responsible for the Federal Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency in the course of the 2020 election, which he characterized as the most secure in the country's history. President Trump fired him yesterday, prompting a fresh torrent of claims from his media and other admirers that there's, quote, no evidence, unquote, of fraud, and decrying Krebs' termination. In fact, voting irregularities and misconduct, to say nothing of simple human errors, did happen this year, as always. What remains to be determined and proven is whether such defrauding affects the outcome of the presidential race. Christopher Krebs should have been removed long before now, however, for not acting on warnings his office received before the election that electronic voting systems used by 28 states were materially compromised. That failure may well have enabled massive fraud that has compromised the 2020 election as well. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you just on a lighter but meaningful note. It is almost Christmas. I know it's hard to believe and things are messed up. I was talking to my son yesterday in Scotland, who I have not seen in a year, which is sad for me, I have to tell you. Thanksgiving is sad for me. I haven't seen them since last Thanksgiving and, you know, no family. It's just hard for all of us, right? So maybe it's time to kind of do something for someone else. That's kind of a great remedy I found through the years. And one of those things that you can do is help Operation Christmas Child send one of these great boxes to some child in some country across, the oceans, one of those oceans. And Operation Christmas Child, of course, has you get this shoebox and you pack it with, and you can also do it digitally. If you don't think you can get out, if you're not in a circumstance where you can actually do that, you can do it online. And let me give you the address right now before I explain some more. It's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Think of Operation Christmas Child, OCC. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. So they're trying to send these out. The deadline is November the 23rd because they want to get these boxes to the kids by Christmas. But you pack the boxes with some great stuff. It's not big. It's not costly. And Samaritan's Purse will put evangelistic information in there, and they will make sure that these children hear the gospel, that they're followed up with. And it's been an incredible program for a couple of decades now. So Operation Christmas Child, it's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And then one more thing I want to tell you is that this week is Prodigal Prayer Emphasis Week here at AFA. What do I mean by that? Well, we just produced this wonderful movie called In His Image, which talks about God's design for gender, male and female, and addresses head-on our culture, which is trying to define gender in a million different ways and is causing little girls to, adolescent girls, to remove healthy breasts if they want to be a boy, and little boys to have surgery later, to choose to have that, to remove their parts, to make them some gender that they think they should be. It is absolutely tragic. And then all the shades of homosexual confusion with all of this sex abuse in our country and all of the dysfunctional families. And can you imagine all of the children, male, little boys and little girls too, have been molested and confused early on about their sexuality. And this movie, In His Image, really addresses that and sorts things out so that our minds are back in order. Our God is a God of order, not of chaos, and that includes gender. All right, so you may have someone in your life who's struggling with this, and if you do, we want to know if we can pray for them, and that's the point of my conversation with you today. If you want to see this movie, by the way, go to inhisimage.movie, inhisimage.movie. But if you have someone in your life, a husband, a wife, a child, a grandchild, that you're concerned about, who is struggling with the issue of sexual identity, go to inhisimage.movie/prayer. And there's a whole prayer team assembled to pray for you and come alongside you. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. All right, I'm back to the voting machines because that's where I want to go right now. Now, this is very interesting to me. And where is that article I wanted to use? I'll just do it off the top of my head, heaven forbid. Alex Halderman is a self-described, and I think described by others, as an expert in voting machines. In 2018, the New York Times did kind of an expose on the voting machines that were used for, in many states right now, 30 states in this country. And this is what Alex Halderman, the professor, he is a professor, had to say about them in 2018.
All cybersecurity experts who have given electronic voting machines any thought agree. These machines have got to go.
after the chaos of the 2000 election. We were promised a modern and dependable way to vote. I'm here to tell you that the electronic voting machines Americans got to solve the problem of voting integrity, they turned out to be an awful idea.
One vote for McCain.
That's because people like me can hack them all too easily. I'm a computer scientist who has hacked a lot of electronic voting machines. I even turned one machine into a video game console. Imagine what the Russians and North Koreans can do. I've even gone to Congress to raise the alarm.
Our highly computerized election infrastructure is vulnerable to sabotage and even to cyber attacks that could change votes.
All right, so that was Alex Halderman, computer scientist featured by the New York Times in 2018, telling us how easy our voting machines would be to hack and how he could actually do it himself. Well, interesting to me, he was on Fox last night being interviewed, and he said something, well, different. Let's listen. Clip one.
There is absolutely no evidence, none, that Dominion voting machines changed any votes in this election. And although scientists like me have been warning for years that there are vulnerabilities in our election system as a whole, those vulnerabilities apply to every kind of voting machine. And we have never claimed that any particular election has been rigged by exploiting those flaws. That's an extraordinary claim. And there is, at this point, only pure speculation to back it up.
Can these machines change votes? Is it possible? Is there a glitch that could not be detected?
It would be very complicated to do that in an election scenario like the presidential election we just saw. States have safeguards in place that complicate that. Our intelligence community and law enforcement or monitoring would be attackers so that we can be tipped off in advance if they were to try to strike.
Wait a second. Is that the same guy? Oh, I think it was. Yeah, it's really easy. I could do it. I turned it into a video game. Yeah, I could do it in just a few minutes. What's true here? Well, let's go back to NBC in 2019 and try to get this clip in. This is NBC doing a report on our voting machines. Let's listen. Clip 8.
What was so interesting was I assumed coming into it that the big manufacturers, companies like ES&S and Dominion, had provided these machines to the hackers to, you know, field test them. But no, it turns out there's an extremely hostile relationship there, and that ES&S and Dominion and other companies have basically said, we don't want to participate, and really have been quite aggressive in saying, we don't want to be part of this. So the organizers were reduced to finding these machines on eBay, which right there is pretty terrifying, because it turns out that anybody can buy some of the most common machines in use on eBay. What was really alarming was when you see these hackers, and these are people who've never seen these machines before, have had no practice on them for the most part, come in and engage them, they immediately get into the guts of them. Beyond that, we were seeing Dominion's image cast system. It's a line of tabulators that paper ballots are fed into. That had its guts all over the room. It was not clear to us whether this was the most recent version of the image cast hardware, but it's important to know that Georgia just spent over $100 million on a contract with Dominion to provide image cast hardware to the state in time for the next primaries and for the 2020
election. All right, we're going to interrupt, but you get the point, don't you? That was 2019. That was an NBC report. Hey, Houston, there's a problem with these voting machines. So I'm just telling you, Sydney Powell is working hard, and I'm sorry I didn't get to an update on her, but she is hanging in there, and she's got so much evidence, and perhaps I can get to that tomorrow. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.